Warning! The following is intended for mature audiences. It includes references to the use of illicit substances as well as crude humor. Listener discretion is advised. Warlocks! Corduroy wishes and acid wash dreams, America. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
I'm Patrick DeMunt.
And once again, you have tuned in to the Warpod, part of the Space City Nerd Network, the Four Eye Radio Network, and the Houston Nerd Casting Collective. Tonight on the Warpod, we're going to be talking about why game-to-life peripherals, we're talking about Amiibo, Skylander, stuff like that, haven't really made the adult market yet. We're going to be talking about Xbox at Gen Con, drug testing in MLG, and we're going to be talking about the top three instruments in gaming of all time! But first, as always, when we have a very special guest on the Warpod, we like to give them a little time to talk about their shtick, because today we have the progenitor, the creator, the mastermind behind our beautiful new intro music, Patrick DeMent! Patrick DeMent, you're actually part of two bands in the Pasadena, Houston, Baytown area, Hound, and also the Dapper Jelly...
I don't think that one actually counts, but...
Dapper Jelly Brothers doesn't count?
It's a...
Sounds
yeah,
delicious.
Yeah, it counts. We are very delicious.
Yeah.
You come check us out.
I will.
We play once every 6 months.
It makes it special. It makes it limited release.
Yeah.
The joke that I always make is because I've heard your other band Hound, and Hound contains two members of the Dapper Jelly Brothers.
They do.
And so I always call you Rat Mouse.
Yeah. Actually, the lead singer and I were thinking about starting a Rat Mouse cover band at one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Mouse Rat.
Mouse Rat, is it Mouse Rat?
It's both.
It's Mouse Rat when they have Andy.
Yeah.
And it's Rat Mouse when he's out of town.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you do, how you got into music. This is really your time to talk about you.
Well, me. No, I'm a guitarist. I've been playing since I was 13. I just kind of write whatever comes out. There's nothing super special about it, but...
What would you say your biggest influences are?
We gotta say Jesus.
Yeah, definitely Jesus.
And probably the Pope.
The Pope, yeah. I am Catholic, so those two guys are way up there.
Other non-musicians.
Non-musicians?
No. I don't know that Jesus was or wasn't a musician.
I think
no, he was a carpenter.
By trade, before got into the savior thing.
You can play a saw. I saw that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can, actually.
There's a Canadian woman who does that.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but in all seriousness, no, I'm a big fan of, Tool. They're one of my favorite bands.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Puddle of Mud.
Definitely not.
Cradle of Filth.
I do enjoy the Cradle.
Filth, yeah.
I'm actually referencing the bands that Johnny told me to tell you to derive inspiration from while coming up with the intro.
I do enjoy some Cradle of Filth.
Yeah.
Puddle of Mud was not one of them.
Puddle of Mud, Korn.
No.
The Ishtar soundtrack.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Did I say, what was my, what state was I in when I told you this?
Oklahoma. Yes.
All right.
Is that the nature of your question, Janie?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you call it Cradle of Filth, though.
Cradle of Filth?
That's actually how the lead singer says it, because they're British.
Are they?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I actually get a kick out of it every time I hear him say it.
I say that because of the IT Crowd.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, they're British as well.
That's the best episode, too.
Yeah.
It was good having the filth to come home to after another disappointing day.
This really helped me through some hard times.
That was a very visual joke that I just referenced from the end.
No, but okay, so something we kind of glossed over is that we actually have new music an intro in our song. We didn't mention it last time we used it. We first used it. So
I was trying not to make a big deal out of it. So
it kind of is a big deal.
Well, it's a big deal for us, but we don't need to let everybody know it's a big deal for us. It's like
oh yeah, we've always been this
cool. You're failing at that right now.
Like Fringe wouldn't be like, hey, we have an intro song this year. They would have had that duck in the row already.
Oh, right. We should have had this 60 episodes ago.
100 episodes ago.
We don't have that many episodes.
Shut
up! By the way, we should probably start planning a big event for our 100th episode. We're getting pretty close.
That's true. Yeah. I don't even know what episode this is.
73. Yeah. It's a big deal when getting to 100.
But yeah, we have the new intro music thanks to Mr. Demid. Do you have around here we do a lot of Matrix-esque screen names and whatnot. Do you have one of those? Do you have an alternate persona?
No.
No?
No, just go about anything but Pat. Don't call me Pat.
You don't like Pat?
No, I don't like Pat.
I'm really big into nicknames.
That we could do. Okay, so it's Patrick Demint, right?
Yeah.
Is your last name?
Patrick
Demint. So you go, Patrick, don't call me Pat Demint. Yeah, it's like a wrestling name.
Hold on, don't call him Pat Demint?
Yeah, don't call him Pat Demint.
Just call me Patrick.
I'm having trouble. Okay.
That's like in quotes. In the middle.
It's in quotes, yeah.
Right, I'm having trouble where the quotes are ending. Is it, don't call me Pat Demint?
No.
Don't call me Pat.
Don't call me Pat. That's in quotes.
Demint.
Okay, so I think that in parentheses, there should be like a head bob.
Yeah.
So it's like, Patrick, don't call me Pat, Demint.
Okay.
So, Patrick, don't call me Pat, open parentheses, head bob, close parentheses, Demint.
Yeah.
Dude, I was thinking quotation marks.
Now, one thing I want to talk about today was what they're starting to call game to life peripherals, which I don't think is the appropriate term for it, but it's what's catching on as its term. And these are, you know, figures like Skylanders, Amiibo, and stuff like that that serve as peripherals or even centerpieces to your game.
Fleshlights.
Like fleshlights. And I feel like I should have jumped on this bandwagon a long time ago because I'm a toy collector.
Mm-hmm.
These peripherals I don't wind up picking up because as toys, they're not cool enough for me to collect.
They're very good quality.
No, they're good quality. I get, that's fine. But in the end, at the end of the day, what makes them so expensive is that they work with a game and they are essentially a static figure on a base, which is something that I don't go for.
I don't think so. I'd argue that point already. I don't think their value comes from their functionality at all.
If they were a static figure on a base, they would not cost that much. They just wouldn't.
Yeah, but I don't even think that many people use them that way. A lot of people just keep them in the packaging.
Yeah.
They're collectibles because you can use them in the game. Like use them in a game. That's their functionality is what got them into the spotlight, but not that many people use them for that.
No, I get that, and that's one of the reasons, like, that's very popular in the adult market, to simply collect them for the sake of collecting
Correct,
them, and not use them in the game. However, kids, especially games that, game-to-life peripherals that are popular with kids, like Skylanders, do get used.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering why there's this big disconnect between the adult market and the children market.
I think it's because the adult market, we're so used to not buying, having to buy peripherals like that for our games that we don't really want to buy into that.
Well, I mean, we don't do it often, but there are ones that we used, like light guns,
Guitar Hero,
steering wheels.
But those are one-off things you buy at once, and these, to get a new character, you have to go buy a new toy, and it's
they're more like a toy than that, in that you collect these things. Like you don't have like a wall full of Guitar Hero guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So there is differences there. I don't know. See, I feel like I'm really out of the loop on this one because I remember, I think it was, I was talking to you, Zach, actually, about Skylander, and like I had no idea it was like a big deal. Like I've seen him in stores and stuff, and I've seen.
I'm not even familiar with the game. Is it any good?
For kids, I've been told it is, and I think, I don't know what Zach got up and was doing, but. You cold?
No.
So, yes, what I was saying was I've seen them like in pawn shops and stuff. I've seen them in store shelves, and I never have ever seen anybody play this game in person. The Skylander stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know it was a thing. Like, I thought it was like a failing product. Now that was going to go away forever soon.
Lego's doing it now too.
Yeah. So it's like, oh yeah, Disney Infinity stuff is also a thing.
Yeah, and that's huge too. So
I don't know if I'm even qualified to really comment on this because I have no idea.
I'll give you some.
I'm so far away from what kids do.
I'll give you some perspective. There's this thing. There's a picture that I'm gonna tweet out later. Because I think when you've made the Walmart discount aisle, then you've made it. When enough of your product has been made that Walmart needs to discount you and put you in a different part of the store.
But usually it's a sign that you're failing.
But they had enough faith in it, it's only one character.
It's so, when you're only in the discount aisle. It's when you're failing.
Yeah. If you're in both, that just means that you're coming up with new stuff and that stuff is no longer relevant, so they've got to get rid of it somehow.
Well, it was, I don't know, it was weird because it was one of my favorite characters. I can't find the photo to show you right now, but there is just a wall of Vanellope von Schweetz.
Okay.
Disney Infinity. Nobody uses it.
So the only clue I had that Skylanders was even a thing was you telling me, and then I actually saw on Reddit, there was a gaming subreddit that I'll pay attention to, and this dad of this kid, I don't know how old the kid was, but he created this awesome custom shelf for all of his Skylander stuff. Basically, it was really well made, handmade, and then he had each like little cubby in the shelf was actually glowing the color of the different types. So he organized them by the colors of the types or whatever they are, you know. But it looked really impressive.
But yeah, Skylanders is making money hand over fist, which is why the Nintendo announcement that they were going to be because. You know the Nintendo's big teaser for E3?
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, we're doing lots of third party, and everybody was like, oh, great, so more Metal Gear Solid and stuff, and it was Skylanders. Well, the thing is that that's bad for the E3 audience, but that's great for Nintendo because right. They are making so much money. What would it take to get a game to life peripheral to work for you guys? I'll throw this to Patrick.
This is the dude who did Spawn. That guy. He needed to make the toys.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane.
He needed to make Seth? Toys. No, it's not
no,
Seth.
No, that's Seth. Family Guy.
Mark MacFarlane is his last
yeah,
name.
Yeah. Todd.
Todd MacFarlane. Yeah, that guy. No. Those toys.
So you want to those toys. You want a $30 Todd MacFarlane sculpt.
What would be awesome is do like an original IP, right? I want to piggyback off your idea. Do like an original IP fighting game.
Yeah.
You could all spot, like, do some kind of that his style. Do like a horror-based fighter, and then use the peripherals like these different, have them actually do the little figures kind of like amiibos, and I think that would be perfect.
But would that gameplay style even be appealing to you at that like
fighting
even
games?
No, I mean using a peripheral because I mean they do it in Smash Bros. And essentially what happens is you're playing a character and then you pull out the right amiibo at the right time and smack it on your controller, and then Mario does an even more incredible thing than normal.
To be honest, it'd probably be split just like the from the kids and the adult. Like we were saying earlier, some people would just collect them and some people would actually use them. I think you'd get a lot of that. It'd probably be about close to 50-50. I think that people would get an enjoyment out of that for sure.
Well, that's my point. They already do. So I guess let me rephrase. What would it take for you guys to use these things?
That style of thing, I probably wouldn't.
No. That's off the table. What would it take to get you to use them in a game?
I don't think I would because it's pay to play.
Like, not allowed. Not you know what?
Let me answer your question for Patrick. How he should answer this? He would have to be drugged and manipulated and actually convinced through those means to use them.
Hold on. What's your favorite single player game?
Single player?
Yeah, favorite single player game.
Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII. Okay, you wouldn't use like if they're doing a remake soon. Mm-hmm. If they ported it to
soon,
yeah, in about 10 years.
Okay, yes. Okay, if it was a Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, and you got like Knights
Amiibos.
Of the Realm.
Okay, yeah.
Knights of the Realm amiibo.
I would do that.
For me, I was imagining for me to use them.
It's not fair,
I think the most convincing way that I would actually be able to use stuff like that. I think it would have to be something similar to like a. Maybe like a card game, like similar to like a digital card game.
Oh, if they started putting chips in Magic cards.
Yeah, something similar to that.
That would be pretty cool.
They did that.
Did they?
Not in Magic, but there was a Digimon game that was based around reading QR codes.
Sure, that's basically what the entire like Yu-Gi-Oh! TV show was based on.
Yeah.
But for me, it had to be more of a mature themed game.
So it's theming for you as well.
A lot of it is theming for me. Yeah. I played Pokemon a little bit, but I was never. I grew out of it very quickly. Mm. That and I was never into Digimon. I'm not gonna play probably a Disney themed anything. But that's just me.
I don't know, man. All those Disney games that came out, and all those Disney games that came out in like the 90s on like the SNES and the Genesis, those are all really good games.
Yeah, absolutely. There were some good. They made some quality games. It's just you have to judge a book by its cover by a little bit, you know. And so I just gravitate towards more mature theming. Why are you staring at me like that?
Because you're missing out on all the best games. Like take a Home Improvement for SNES, for example.
Right.
The Tim Allen side scrolling.
That was a thing.
Oh yeah, he gets lost in
space.
No, actually, he's on a set. He's on a television set, and they have robotic dinosaurs that have gone crazy, and like it's a whole like tropical themed set. So he, for all intents and purposes, he is in prehistoric Jurassic times, and all he has to save him are his Benford tools.
So if I...
Are you sure you weren't playing Jurassic Park with, a badly drawn, Dr. Grant?
No, I've played that. That's for Genesis. And they're not very dissimilar games, actually.
Should I be Googling all this? Is this real?
This is extremely real.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. So you didn't play Jurassic Park for Genesis?
The Jurassic Park Rampage?
No.
You got to ride a Triceratops.
That's pretty cool.
You get to be a raptor.
Mm-hmm.
That, like... Half the game.
I didn't play a lot of Genesis games. There's some I played. I played, believe this or not, this is actually, I developed my distaste for Sonic. The character was I actually played a lot of Sonic 2 and stuff like that. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, well, Sonic 2, yeah.
I thought it was one of the best ones.
No, Sonic 3 is the best one. Sonic 3.
This is one that had Knuckles, right?
That's a complicated story. I feel like I've told before on the show.
You probably have.
It's, okay.
But he was in the game.
He was in the game.
Oh, okay.
He had a sprite that was on the screen.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
There was Sonic 3, and then there was Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Right. Completely different games.
They're not different. It's like the first DLC.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so how it worked is...
I don't want to know.
They knew they wanted to expand the game, but they couldn't with the constraints of the cartridge, so they made a cartridge that
looked... Inside the cartridge?
Yes.
Yeah.
You could plug... That you had Sonic 3, and then you had the Sonic and Knuckles card expansion that you plugged into the top, and that's why the name of the game isn't Sonic and Knuckles. It's Sonic 3, and then if you have the expansion, it's Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
I vaguely remember this. How much was that expansion?
I have no idea. I played on an emulator a couple of years ago.
At the time, it was probably the same amount as 40 or 50 bucks whenever a new game came out.
I would be pissed off for everybody that purchased it if it was more than $30.
The thing is I think Patrick's right about the expansion being the same price, because that's how they did all of the Street Fighter expansions.
Right.
Because
it's the same game, just with more.
Well, also, and I guess it's not too surprising, because actually cartridges are more expensive to make than discs. So back then, there's a lot of cost that was attributed to that.
Yeah. But I digress. There was something that you wanted to talk about.
But before we I just want to say real quick that I'm excited for... the next wave of peripheral games, Guitar Hero, and Rock Band stuff that's coming out.
Meh.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Being a musician,
Did you play the games?
I love Rock Band.
Yeah.
Especially when they came out, when you could plug the guitar into the thing and actually play the real...
Rocksmith.
Rocksmith.
No, Guitar Hero 3 had it where you could get a... buy a guitar.
Yeah.
And you could put it on like actual mode, and it would tell you what frets and what string to play, what notes to play, and it was, you were actually playing a guitar.
Very cool.
It was not as good as Rocksmith, but
I'm big on the drums for Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Without
that mode of Guitar Hero 3, the drums is the most similar to actually playing the instrument.
Right.
That's a criticism that I hear from a lot of musicians, actually, that we can talk about right now. A lot of guitarists have told me that that games like Rock Band, Guitar Hero are more difficult than playing real guitar.
Yes, they are.
Really?
I can play like Pantera's, like Cowboys from Hell on guitar. I cannot play it in Guitar Hero.
And especially depending on the difficulty, because on the lower difficulties, you're not strumming for every note or whatever.
Exactly.
So that can be really weird to try to make your convince your brain that you're not supposed to be doing stuff during the song when you really should be.
It also has to do with the switch, the toggle, the thing that you strum on the peripheral.
It's not natural.
It's not as natural.
Yeah.
To as strumming an actual guitar to me.
Because you can do some of that picky stuff.
Yeah, and I have like. Yeah.
Anyway,
and
I can do this. Y'all can't see it, but
what he did was he turned all of his fingers upward and then flailed them in a suggestive manner. So apparently, what is the Dapper Jelly Bros at Cork Grinders?
Yeah,
Thursday night. If you want to see the show?
Yeah. Come check it out.
Okay, so there was one thing that you keep coming at me with all this stuff. It's like, oh man, RTX, Gen Con, PAX Con. Yeah. And I don't know what any of it is.
Space Face Con.
Yeah. Yeah. What is Gen Con? Who is your Gen Con and what does he do?
Gen Con is the major, it's a huge gaming convention. And I think traditionally, I think it was more board games. But it's expanded into almost like the Comic-Con San Diego of Europe. It takes place in Germany.
Yeah, that was one thing I was... I can't remember who I was talking to about, but it's hard to say that any given con is a particular kind of con because they just pick up whatever's going to work.
Right, but there's some that gravitate more toward, especially the more specialized small ones are actually focused, like you'll have just toy conventions and stuff like that.
I can't wait for the con.
It's the con.
It's the convention about conventions.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I
no, there was another meta thing, sorry. It's build a deck, the deck building game, where you're trying to build like a deck on the back of your house.
That's awesome. So in contrast, they look better because their Sony was not there to counter it.
Sony was not there to show them up.
Yeah, I mean, that's not how it works. Xbox is wonderful.
No,
you're awful for hating.
No, I have to tell this story, and you can't say that I've had every Xbox console. I've had every single one.
Right.
But, Patrick, I'd like to share this with you. Yesterday, we were going to go work on our Let's Play the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
And
coming out soon.
We were looking for another remote because I oft forget to bring my remote over. And luckily, mutual friend Marlon brought one. And I remember pointing out a remote that looked like another Xbox One controller to me.
But we also all know that I had a black Xbox 360 remote, so that's what we thought that one was.
Right. So we mistook it, and then at the end of the night, Marlon pulled it out and he's like, "No, this was another Xbox One controller." And Johnny was like, "It's not mine." And Marlon was like, "Well, it's not mine." So I had not only misplaced my Xbox remote in another city, but I had not noticed for an undetermined number of weeks.
At least a month. That it was missing, yeah.
Which is when I came up with the tagline, PlayStation 4, so good you'll misplace your Xbox controller.
Yeah, and in Zach's personal experience, yes, PlayStation 4 is better, but it's not universally across the board. That's how it is.
I will give you that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not sure that they had a good showing because they didn't have any real competition.
Right. I'm just not sure if it was as good as everyone said it was.
Did you see their...
I saw the list of games that they were talking about, and that's the problem with forgetting and misplacing an article and talking about this on our podcast for people to inform people is that I misplaced it.
That's the thing, is that it's... Okay, what is the German extension? Like, what's the German internet?
Dot
Germany?
Dot interwebs? I don't know.
It's actually
the same internet.
It's actually... No, it's not.
Ask Jeremy.
Huh? Ask Jeremy. It's probably...
Dot EU?
Might be.
Yeah. Did you find it?
I did. We finally found an article that references Gamescom.
Gamescom?
And Xbox One. So this whole time I've been telling you Gen Con, which is actually a very awesome convention that takes place in Indiana.
What we should do is we should do like a robot's voice, like that edits over every time we say Gen Con.
Yeah.
Is it Games Cop?
Gamescom.
And like it's not perfect. Games Cop.
Yeah.
Gamescom.
Gamescom.
Okay, so Microsoft was at Gamescom.
In Germany, so I got that part right.
And what was so amazing about their show?
And like I said earlier, it was perceived to be probably bigger than it was because they didn't have the rivals there at the con. One of the big things, they showed some... they showed what the Halo 5 Guardians Special Edition bundle will look like, which I believe was the Needler thing that I had shown you before. I think you get a replica Needler.
Boo.
Yeah. Rise of the Tomb Raider footage shows off many new ways to kill people. So you have that to look forward to.
Well, what are the new ways? Do you get garrote wire?
I don't know.
Like needle nose pliers?
Stealth water kills?
Feminine wiles?
You'll also be able to kill multiple enemies at once with new bow.
That's not new. That's how we did it last time.
Yeah. No, but you can't. You can't. I think they're saying multiple enemies in one shot.
Could you do that before?
No.
Yeah. I also want to thank Polygon for writing this article. They're the ones that are giving us the information finally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, Halo Wars 2 is going to be coming to Xbox One and Windows 10.
And that's the RTS. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And what I like about this. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, there was a game that we couldn't think of. We were talking about yesterday. It's another. It's another Halo game that's not part of the main series, and it's a vaguely top-down walk-around shoot 'em up, Contra 4 style.
I had this game on my. I can just look at my computer.
No,
hey, I've never even heard or seen anything on this.
Oh, it's.
It's been out for a while. It wasn't received that well. The controls are kind of funky.
Yes, they are.
But you can't adjust those, I realized, when I started playing it.
Contra 4, though.
Contra 4 had its day. You know, I really want more Metroid in that style.
Yeah.
Because, was it Other M?
That Other M was horrible.
You see, a lot of people had a problem with Other M because it was big.
Team Ninja for the win.
Team Ninja?
That's who did it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
The team that did DOA.
Mm-hmm. And,
Ninja Gaiden.
Yep.
No, a lot of people had trouble with it because it was such a big departure from... What do you call it? Prime.
Yeah.
But Prime was just Halo.
Yeah.
You know?
I prefer the side scroller exploration ones, and that's when I like to find things. I like to look, and I like to.
Spartan Assault.
Spartan Assault.
Now that rings a bell.
Now let's see if you crashed Audacity.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird. Okay, so Halo Wars 2.
Yes. Which a lot of people did like.
People will eat any RTS and put it right in their butt. And that's not how it works.
Okay, also they have... They're saying Just Cause 3 will include a copy of Just Cause 2. Halo 5 Guardians focuses on esports at GamesCon. And this is where I mentioned to you, I don't think it was on the show though, that they announced a $1 million Halo World Championship. So that's going to be up for grabs.
And it's Halo Wars.
No, that's
Halo you said 5. Halo World. I thought you said Halo War Championship.
Yeah, Halo World Championship.
And it's going to be Halo 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we start calling this a public health concern now?
What?
Because people are going to get 5, and they're going to be ramping up for this $1 million tournament, and they're going to lose their children.
For some people, that's concerned. Some people do make money doing that. Either part-time or full-time. I saw a chart recently, and it was kind of interesting. It showed the increase. It was like a graph that showed the increase in award money being awarded just for esports.
Yes.
And it's been drastic, the upward climb.
Which, by the way, I smell a segue, unless you're done with this segment.
Go ahead.
Another thing we were going to talk about was performance-enhancing drugs and randomized and or standardized drug testing in Major League Gaming and competitive gaming in general, professional competitive gaming in general.
Yeah. Well, it's probably just what's that one drug they use?
Adderall.
Adderall. Yeah. It's probably the only one they're really worried about.
Corey Friesen was the guy who he did an interview with. Was it CNN? It was somebody, but he was the one who openly admitted, yeah, we were all on Adderall.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely believe that. I mean, everyone does that. It hyper-focuses, you know, your brain. I mean, it's the way it works.
We actually had this conversation the other night at Flying Saucer.
yeah.
about my 8-hour win streak on Super Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
I just think, like, I mean, if they're gonna drug test major league sports players, might as well same thing.
Yeah. And that was because you were on Adderall at the time, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Adderall.
Yeah, and that's I've heard
it. Adderall.
I'm trying to keep it a little clean.
Yeah, I don't really know how I feel about it. I mean, it's an easy drug to come across. It's probably rampant right now, like they just said. I don't know.
They just give it to children nowadays.
Like. Yeah, it's
during Halloween. Yeah. And actually, mostly
football players use that drug as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it'd be good if we could crack down on it. I think it'd be safer, healthier, maybe.
Yeah, that was actually one thing that I hadn't considered when forming an opinion about this was overall safety, because you may have people who like come in and like get addicted to Adderall specifically for the purpose of making money playing video games, right. And that's not. Here's my deal, America. Here's my problem is that. While I don't break or abuse vice laws of any kind, I do think that personal choice and responsibility should play a bigger role in the letter of the law. And so, whenever talking about this kind of thing, I'm always like, well, if they want to mess up their own bodies, let them, you know. But you know,
not when there's money on the line.
Yeah,
and also when it's a public health concern too.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of fair competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everyone to have a level playing field, just don't allow it.
Or standardize it.
Make sure everybody is on Adderall.
Right. Then you have that risk of everyone just abusing it.
Okay, and that actually makes a lot of sense to say it. Like, if it's going to be a level playing field, you either need to make everybody take Adderall,
right.
Or nobody gets Adderall, and you want to go with nobody taking Adderall because that's the healthier thing.
Right.
Because then you would have an organization saying that you have to abuse your body.
Right. That's weird.
Okay, so no, you've convinced me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm for drug testing and the banning of Adderall.
Cool.
Patrick, your thoughts.
My thoughts.
Yes. Is this a real issue? Is this an appropriate issue?
I think it is a real and an appropriate issue. When it comes to competitive game like that, when there are prizes involved, and it should be a level playing field. But if you're just sitting at home, running some Street Fighter all night.
What are you
have
about?
At it.
What are you about to tell the children of America?
Oh, I'm not telling you. I'm just. Drugs aren't always bad, kids.
That's right. The doctor
right.
often gives you drugs, and he went to school to make sure that those drugs are good for you. Take those, Patrick.
The doctor gives you antibiotics. Take those.
Okay. Now, before we get into the top three, one thing we talked about on the Let's Play, and essentially what we're doing is we're whoring it out again because when Johnny posted this to our Facebook, everybody was super excited and wanted to engage and like and stuff like that. So this is what you guys want. This is what you guys get. Kung Pao 2. The legend continues.
Yep.
Kung Pao 2 apparently is going to be a thing. I haven't seen a drop. Okay, that's not true. I have seen it in my feeds. I ignored it.
Yeah, we're only talking about this because you want us to.
No,
I did not know about this till just now, and I am thoroughly excited.
Everybody was really excited when we first posted about it, and I don't even think they've started production yet. I think they just announced it.
They'll probably start production a week before release.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
I wonder if they're gonna. This is my biggest wonder about this: is if they're gonna do the same method of. Grabbing an old movie that already existed and then basically inserting. I can't talk today.
Usurping is the word.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with that. Usurping. But placing these. Mainly the main character that was put into the movie was the main guy, I forgot his name, but the guy who actually. It was his idea.
Thumb Wars.
He plays the main guy.
Odenkirk. His last name is Odenkirk.
Odenkirk, yeah.
He's actually one of the Odenkirk brothers.
Yeah, him and then the cow were the only ones that were actually put into the Kung Fu Cow.
No, Woe was also put in the movie.
Oh, was he really?
Woe?
Woe?
The lady with one breast.
Oh, yeah.
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 Actually, all those scenes, they don't even have the movie as a backdrop. It's no need.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if they're still gonna do it. Just use an old kung fu movie.
If they did, what old Hong Kong kung fu would you go with, Patrick?
Oh, there's the movie with Jackie Chan, Smiley Face.
Smiley Face. I have never seen that.
You say who was in it?
Jackie Chan.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of that.
Is that one of the many names of Wheels on Meals?
I don't know. Well, I don't even know if that's. I don't even know if that's the actual name of it. I just know the poster had a smiley face.
Okay. So it may not have been Smiley Face.
Could have been Mr. Nice Guy.
That's it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to call you out because I used to be a huge Jackie Chan fan, and I was like, that's not his movie. Nope. But that is absolutely, and that was actually a good one. See, I was going to actually say another Jackie Chan movie.
The Young Master?
No.
What?
Project A, which is a really old one. And I, to this day, and it actually was fairly recently, that there's a particular line.
See, Project A is actually one that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, Project A is a really old one. And I don't remember the exact plot, but at one point, there's a lot of these politics with the police force.
Are you sure it's not Super Cop?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, but the guy comes into the room, and he's just like, there's no more Project A! And he just says it in such a way that it stuck with me, and I want that movie to be redone for some reason.
Now, the theming of Project A, would that cause, like... Would that mean that...
It wouldn't work.
Well,
it wouldn't work. But if they goofed it around and loved that they didn't care, I think it would almost be more interesting. Wouldn't it? I mean, it's goofy to do that.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, I don't think anybody, like... I don't know if there's a big... calling for there to be a continuity between Kung Pao 1 and Kung
Pao.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think if it was...
What would your movie be?
Off the top of my head, I'm thinking either Young... Once again, going back to Jackie Chan, either Young Master or Drunken Master. And not Legend Drunken Boxing, but Drunken Master from the 1970s.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this we all like Jackie Chan, apparently.
Well, can I change mine real quick?
Yeah. Yes.
Big Trouble Little China. I know it's... I know it's not... Is it or the Chinese movie or the Japanese? What's that?
Hong Kong.
Is it Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know it's not a Hong Kong movie, but I would go with Big Trouble Little
China.
Big
Trouble Little China. Big Trouble Little Kong.
Big Stubble Powwow.
Yeah, there you go. Big Trouble Powwow. Enter all the fists.
Actually, if they were gonna do like kind of a bad one, there's one called Deadly Shaolin Kicks.
Nice.
That they could probably get some, or Kung Fu of the Dead.
Why don't you just use Shaolin Soccer?
Huh?
Because Kung Fu of the Dead sounds perfect for this.
Actually, it does.
Yeah. So Kung Pao of the Dead?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Plot points, major plot points that need to be addressed. Any holes that need to be filled from the original Kung Pao.
Why does she only have one breast?
Wo only has one breast because that's one breast style Kung Fu.
Everything's a style. That only gives me plot points.
Plot points in the first one?
He was the chosen one, a.k.a. Cho Simba, and he, what do you call it, he needed to defeat the evil Betty, because the evil Betty was taking over all of the, you know, they never explain it, but I guess the land.
I think they should just get rid of the plot points and make it an existentialist piece on being a Kung Fu master.
What if they just chose the same movie and just redubbed it a different way?
I think, you know, I like that. I think that would be a testament to exactly what the original was.
Right.
Yeah, like I said, I think it went over a lot of people's heads that it was just a movie that they inserted these people into.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I was much older, like...
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
So we got a top three.
Top three?
Yeah.
Top three what?
That's completely inappropriate, Johnny. And you know that we don't talk about on the podcast.
Tops or threes?
Either.
Oh.
No, number one. No, so we are doing a patented Warlocks top three. Today on the top three, we are going to be talking about the top three and potentially bottom three, weather permitting, instruments in pop culture and gaming. So whenever we have a guest on the show, we always throw this directly to them. Patrick.
Yes.
Top three instruments in pop culture and gaming, starting with your least favorite.
Least favorite.
No, okay. So you're doing your top three and then there's a bottom three? So, the top three, you'll have the least favorite of your favorites.
Start with the least favorite of my favorites.
The top three is a competition of who's best. The bottom three is a competition of who's worst.
Yes, okay. Got it. All right.
Don't confuse them further.
My number three would have to be instruments and gaming. I'm gonna go with the scalpel.
From, what is that?
The surgery game.
Trauma center.
Not well. I'm thinking more of the Adult Swim game.
Surgeon simulator.
Yeah.
Oh, amateur surgeon.
Yeah, amateur surgeon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Number two, instruments would have to be from earlier the rock band drums, because they also as actual drums.
I hate the rock band drums.
They're a little wonky, but they still can perform as actual drums, just not very good ones.
The thing is like that for me, that was the least intuitive one. It's probably because it's the one that is it's the most similar to an instrument and thusly needs the most practice. And I never owned a set myself. So I've never played that game when it essentially wasn't a performance, because usually it was at a party.
Yeah.
And it was like everybody had to get it right, or then we got music.
Yeah, I would spend hours just playing the rock band drums just because I found it enjoyable. It's kind of like my dance revolution.
See, I could understand feeling that way about the drums, because I remember a long time ago, and I don't know, maybe it was wrong of me to judge this guy. He was just trying to have fun. But there was this guy I remember in my buddy's apartment complex. You could see him because his blinds were up, not open, up. And he was in an A-shirt and boxers, and he was sitting on the edge of his bed just playing Guitar Hero in the dark. And I remember thinking, that could have been a real guitar. If you're alone playing a toy, then I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Am I wrong?
No, yeah,
it's
I guess.
Just you.
See, and that's why when I am playing Rock Band, I'm playing the drums, because like I can, at some point, if I wish, I can actually put those skills to use.
Fighting crime.
Or playing the...
With your drums?
Drums.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of do in my Dungeons and Dragons game that I'm playing. I'm playing a bard that plays the drums.
So yeah, like that bard.
I am. It's my first character I've played in years. I'm sorry. All right.
Okay. Now number one.
Guitar.
The literal guitar.
For like...
Rocksmith?
No, not for
Rocksmith. Oh, well, it's pop culture. It's pop culture too.
It's pop culture, but I mean, there are plenty of video games that have great guitar music on it.
Sure.
Or there are plenty of bands who take great video game music and it translates exceptionally well to the guitar.
There are plenty of video game characters that use the guitar while fighting. There's a sexy witch lady in Guilty Gear X that has a guitar. I have no idea what the purpose of it is.
To look badass.
I feel like she would harm it a little bit.
If it's a magic guitar.
Okay, so if you had to pick a particular magic guitar.
Particular magic guitar? The one that the devil's playing in the tribute music video.
Fuck yeah!
Nice.
Yeah, that magic guitar.
I was gonna say.
On the devil, I love metal. Sorry.
I was gonna say, this is a very obscure reference. The American guitar from The Love and Death of an American Guitar. The one that
I'm not familiar.
Oh, it can play unheard of notes. If you murder somebody with it and drip the blood over the strings.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Murder tar.
I cannot believe you've never heard this.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go look this up.
Number one. Oh, well, no, that was guitar.
That was number one.
Okay, I'll go.
Okay.
Top three. Number three, the Ocarina of Time. And
solid choice.
I feel like I'm going to get flack for it not being number one,
yeah.
But as a magical instrument... Like, it really services to condense that game down so you're not running around Hyrule Field. That's its true function.
Right.
And so, it's a cool thing. It was fun to play. Then it got way overused in everything else. It was, like, obligatory.
Am I the only one who improvised on the Ocarina? Like, did anybody else do that?
I did that.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
No. Oh, have you played the DS version?
No, I have not.
Okay. So, in the original version, when you were using your analog stick... you could actually change the pitch. You could make it sharp or flat. And now there's a functionality to the stick on the DS version. And you can't do that anymore. And I was super sad. Number two, the banjo. Or I should say Banjo's banjo from Banjo.
Kazooie?
No, from Banjo from... Bob's Burgers.
Oh.
The guy who has a banjo that can shoot people.
I've not heard of this.
Oh, it's my favorite.
It's a great show. It really is.
Oh no, I've heard of the show. I just haven't heard of that episode.
Yeah, Bob and Gene become obsessed with Bob's boyhood hero Banjo, who was the star of a series of spaghetti westerns. There's like 12 movies about this guy, and like it's always just them on some dusty trail, and he's like, nope, and like shoots somebody. Number one, obviously, the Dragon Flute from Power Rangers.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That's a good one.
The Dragon Flute. It summons a Megazord.
Yeah.
Out of any particular body of water that you might be near.
And it's a flute you can kill somebody with.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he ever used that functionality.
I don't think so. But it was there.
Yeah. Did he have a laser gun? They all had... Yeah. All the five had laser guns, but I don't know if he did.
I'm sure he
did.
The only
laser I remember is they one time put all their weapons together to make a cannon.
Dude, okay. One Christmas, I got all five Flippy Head Power Rangers. Remember Flippy Head Power Rangers?
Yeah, I had a couple.
Okay, yeah. They all came with weapons, and you can assemble cannon with those.
Yeah,
I was stoked. However, Bandai screwed me because Billy's supposed to come with size and a bow. Because he puts his sides together, they become a bow.
Right.
No bow.
No bow.
No bow. That's
sad. I know. Either way, Johnny Depp, top three.
Top three! Honorable mention, Ocarina of Time. The Ocarina.
Off time.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think that's the name. I think it's actually the Fairy Ocarina. So there you go.
Yeah, the Ocarina in that game.
No, the Fairy Ocarina is the first one you get from the Kokori.
And then you get the Ocarina of Time.
And then I actually bumped that one down from three because I forgot we were doing just general pop culture if we wanted to.
I didn't tell you that.
You didn't, but you said it, so I chose my list. And I just chose the banjo in general. Every banjo.
Really?
Yeah, I love the banjo.
It's a good instrument.
He don't play it for fun. He's just hiding his gun. Banjo. Banjo.
So anyway, number two is actually, now this is Endgame, and it's not a traditional instrument, but it is one that's fun to play, and that is the exploding heads of the grunts when they added the yay effect. Yay. So, yeah, it goes, yay! Every time you pop the grunts in the head.
Because of the farts they're breathing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, yeah, the methane.
Yeah, the methane, because they have to breathe methane.
Yeah, they breathe methane.
Super stupid. Okay, so all banjos.
Yeah, it was Ocarina of Time, banjos, and then exploding grunt heads.
Oh, that's right.
And then mine are the Guitar Hero drum set. I actually prefer the Guitar Hero drum set over the Rock Band drum set.
Notable differences?
The differences are in the software. A big part is in the software because of the way that it would go. Like when I would try to do the Rock Band ones, they're precise. In the way that you have to hit them. And I have too much fun. I enjoy playing that game too much to take it that seriously. So I want just to be able to wail on them and then make it hit the notes. But the pedal, I don't know if Rock Band, I think Rock Band came out with its own pedal. But I like the metal pedal you can buy as an attachment for the... Because you can do double bass pedals.
Yeah, I think you can do that with like Rock Band 3.
Maybe. I know with Guitar Hero you could do it with once you bought the Metallica game. And that was a lot of fun. And then I liked the cymbals better on the Guitar Hero one because they were built to...
take a beating.
Well, not just that, but they actually came with it. I think the Rock Band, you had to buy the attachments.
Yeah, yes. I bought the attachments. And the thing is when you do start beating on them, the Rock Band ones do start to fall off. They can. They will fall off if you're hitting them hard enough.
Right.
Are they just balanced on there?
No, the way it is, the it's just like a coupling that goes around the stand. I'm sitting here making very
churning butter.
Churning butter. But, but it's around the leg, and then if you're just beating on the cymbal, it just goes.
Yeah, I really like the target ones. I thought they're pretty well made. I went, but I pound the shit out of those things. I think I broke three sets. And I think the one that was more flimsy actually was the one made for the Wii. Because I actually went, this was like the first time I ever met my wife's parents in California. I went there and they're like, hey, we got Guitar Hero World Tour for the Wii. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Let's play. I know how to play that game. And so we played, and we played a lot. And I broke it, the drum set. And then I came the next visit, I broke them again. So, yeah.
See, wait, you were meeting your then fiance?
Yeah, we weren't married yet.
Yeah, were you fianced yet?
I think.
Okay, so this is the first time you met them, and you spent so much time playing video games.
Playing games with them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They like video games.
I like to imagine that you're in.
I was in there by myself. And then I come into the kitchen where everyone is this like uncomfortably sitting because I'm just by myself and I'm like, oh, I broke it.
And Jeffrey's mom comes in and she's like, where's all my Adderall?
All right, so now we're to the bottom three. Back to Patrick.
Bottom three. So I'm gonna stop at the start at the very bottom and go back up.
The worst one is gonna be your number one.
Yes.
Okay. So third. Third would have to be. I'm gonna go with the Guitar World guitar. Does that count?
Guitar World?
No, yeah. I'm sorry.
No. Rock Guitar Band Hero World Guitar, Tour.
Yeah, like.
Is that what you meant? Guitar
Hero. No, I just meant like the Rock Band or Guitar Hero. The guitar peripheral. I hate it.
Okay.
I hate it with a passion.
Like because you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's awkward to use for someone who knows how to play guitar.
Exactly. Yeah. Hate it. Number two, the bugle.
The okay. bugle?
Yeah.
The
bugle. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So you're just listening to musical instruments.
Yeah, well, they're obnoxious, though.
Yeah. Well,
that's a classic fox hunting bugle, actually, right there.
Yeah. I hate the tone of them. And, I mean, I'm a musician. Obnoxious. Of course, they're going to be instruments. And I was the one who mentioned scalpel, so.
Scalpel?
Scalpel.
Scalpel?
Scalpel.
Doctor.
It's a great instrument.
The bugle can be played well.
I'm not saying any instrument can be played well. I'm just saying I don't like the bugle. It's obnoxious.
Yeah, a flavor of instrument. He doesn't like it.
New challenge, America, is to find. Okay, tell us your favorite. Tell us your favorite classical piece right now.
My favorite classical piece.
Yes.
Is Malaguena by some Spanish guy. I don't know.
Malaguena by some Spanish guy. Okay. Warlocks, look that up, okay? That is an insight into his personal tastes. My challenge to you, find a bugle piece that you think he'll like and tweet it to us at Warlocks ES.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right.
Number two.
That's
number one.
Number one.
That's right. Okay.
Let's see. I haven't thought about much. This is kind of on the spot, so give me a second. What do I
think of all the grating sounds that are just that you just that really grind your gears?
Grinding gears.
That's a pretty bad musical instrument.
Yeah, no. Seriously.
Nails on a chalkboard?
No, see that's not an instrument though.
It can be.
It can.
Anything that makes noise can be an instrument.
Instrument. I'm gonna go with like you ever seen one of those? It's just like a wood block, but it's got ridges on it.
Yeah.
A lot of time, it sounds it's shaped like a frog because when you run the stick
a
across,
frog?
Yeah, it sounds
seen
like
the
a frog.
Fish.
No, frog more common.
It goes because it sounds like a frog.
Never seen
it.
It
sounds like a croaking frog when you roll the stick.
I couldn't count the number of times I've seen the ridge fish, but the
yeah,
frog,
it's the same concept.
Never seen the frog.
Yeah, I've never seen a fish. I've always seen frogs.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, worst instrument ever. Because you can't, like, there's so many other, like, great, like, alternative percussion instruments. Like, why the fuck would you want something that sounds like a frog?
For your big frog piece.
For your frog diorama?
Swan Lake. That's a good time to have frog piece.
Yeah, okay.
Peter and the Wolf. Pretty good time to have frog piece.
Is there a Peter and the Wolf musical?
Yes.
Top three, or bottom three.
Bottom three. And it reads. Number three, rhythm game drums. All of them.
You douche.
No, I'm saying I wrote this down.
You explained earlier?
An hour
yeah.
before we started.
Yeah, okay. No, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. No, it's not fun for me to practice a toy. I feel like if I'm going to put that kind of effort into the drums, I should learn to play the drums.
Well, isn't that video games in general? Don't you have to practice those to get good at them?
Not okay, but the thing is, like, the other thing about rhythm games in general is that I can practice the real version without killing anybody. I cannot say the same for like Dragon Ball Z, okay. or like Dragon Age.
There's plenty of other peaceful rhythm games.
I could be learning how to kill other. Why should I be swinging this digital sword or firing this electronic gun? When there are plenty of humans to kill.
Okay.
No, yeah. So I don't like investing the time in the rhythm game. Drums are so complex that they require the time to do well in co-op.
Okay. So moral of the story is Zach does not like to work hard at things.
Not at video games. Video games are for fun. Okay. Number two.
You're a failure.
The fishbone of time.
What? Is that a thing?
In what is considered to be the only direct sequel to Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, there are three playable characters in the form of masks that Link puts on in order to transform himself. One of them is the Zora.
Yeah.
And the Zora are the aquatic people of Hyrule, or Termina in this case.
It's terminally ill.
Well, because it's dying.
I know.
Well, it's not ill, it's a moon. It's a moon.
It's an ill moon.
It's a moon. why we got locked in that for a while. But the ocarina that you're holding changes along with yourself, so you're playing three different instruments in each mode, and while you are the Zora, you play a guitar that is made of a large fish's body. Like, there's no bones about it. That's definitely the spine that you're fretting on. That's definitely its ribs that you're strumming on.
You just said no bones about it.
Yeah. I didn't even notice.
I know you kept going. I was like, you didn't catch it.
But the thing is that in... you're squeaky.
Sorry.
In both... Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, they reinforce this idea that there are atypical aquatic creatures that are also intelligent. Lord Jabu Jabu in the first one, he was a Zora, but he just looked like a whale. In the second one, there was an intelligent, maybe even godlike turtle that you wrote on the back of. And this tells me that the cadaver that is the instrument that he's playing may have been a friend.
Right.
And if it's not, if this is a sufficiently unevolved creature that maybe the Zora eat, you know, they're used to killing these things, that would be like me coming over to your house and like, yeah, we'll play some music, and I just bring a cow.
Right.
Just a dead cow.
I can see why this bothers you.
Yeah, very much so. The Goron got a set of drums. Mm-hmm. In the
Sure.
Okay. And number one, from Desperado, the movie. Not technically a musical instrument, but we jumped off that ledge a while ago. The rocket launcher guitar case.
Okay.
The rocket launcher guitar case.
It is an instrument of destruction.
That's true.
Boom!
I dislike it for a lot of reasons. One, we were actually talking about this in Halo because...
Rocket physics?
Recoilless weapons in general... A rocket launcher by necessity is a recoilless weapon because such a huge explosion happens when you set off the chemical portion. And there was no blowback from this thing. Also, the guy got, like, he was in a street fight. Like, everybody had guns, and he had this thing, and he got off, like, one shot and then was immediately killed.
Good job, bro.
No, the thing is like, I'm sure he was a great fighter, but he brought a rocket launcher to a gunfight.
Blow your
little
early with one of those.
See?
What? No, sure.
It's been a while since I've seen Desperado, so does he just walk into the middle of the gunfight and, like,
unload? It's the end where you learn that El Mariachi was not the only one who has like a gun shtick going on with their guitar case. Now he's got three other friends that I think were all the band members at the beginning of the movie, yeah, who all have their own thing going on. One of them had a really cool one. They were two smaller guitars. They were either travel guitars or ukes. I'm not sure. The guitar cases themselves were also the guns. He wasn't taking a Tommy gun out of it. I like how everybody at home can see this. There was him. El Mariachi had just a guitar case full of guns and a guitar facade to hide them well. And then there was one last one, and I cannot remember it.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right. My bottom three?
No.
Oh.
Okay, go on. What?
Okay. Number three is the kazoo. Because fuck that thing. Number two...
Okay, do you know how to properly play a kazoo?
I don't like the sound.
I think if you were playing the kazoo, you'd feel different.
No.
Have you ever played one?
Yes.
Describe to me how you played it, because lots of people play it wrong.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Probably the humming sound, which is proper. You're not supposed to blow in it. I know that.
Correct. I was wondering if that was if that was one problem.
The sound is still annoying.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. How would you feel about, like, were you playing like a plastic kazoo?
Probably.
Because they have professional grade
kazoos. Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
Professional annoyance.
They're made of brass and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the wax paper is intrinsic. Like, does it have to be wax paper? Okay.
It's something just thin enough to the air.
So, is there a reed that you could use in a fancier one, or would that change the sound?
I can't believe we're talking this long about kazoos.
I'm sure there is a better material than wax paper.
But would it make the same sound?
Probably not. That's the kind of the point. You want it to make a better sound.
Well, no, you want to if you're gonna make a kazoo, it might as well do a kazoo's job. Like, I could add a lot to kazoo, and at the end, it'll make coffee. But is that a better kazoo? Sure, but is it a kazoo anymore? I don't know.
Okay, we're done. I'm calling it on the kazoo talk. Number two is the drums from Rock Band for reasons I have already stated, and number one is the recorder because that's also an obnoxious instrument.
I like the recorder. The recorder was actually more popular than the clarinet in the what was that, around the 1600s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
No, in fact, there are lots of beautiful pieces. Mm-hmm. And the one of them was actually featured time and time again in Star Trek.
What?
Next Generation.
Really?
And the flute that Captain Picard receives in the episode The Inner Light, that is actually referred to as a catan. It doesn't actually play. He revealed that in an interview later, but the sound effect that they put in while he's playing this thing is a recorder.
Nice.
And once again, it's like kind of like we just had with the kazoo. There are better recorders than that plastic piece of shit they give you in elementary school.
And it does make a difference.
It does.
Like, if it's wood or plastic,
sure.
You know, the overall
well,
shape.
Let's just say for the sake of argument that I was referring to the cheap plastic one I got in school.
Okay.
Then yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a piece of shit.
Which is actually
the
kind of
one that, and the one that Dwight plays in The Office.
And the one that I have.
Sure.
Yeah.
You still have the one you had from school? Or
yeah, I have mine too.
I bought a new one from a school.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. And she told me not to, and I was like, I'm not gonna take it seriously enough to care.
Hey, you know what's really cool that came out this week? Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter.
For the Android devices, because it didn't launch with on the Android.
And for those of you who don't know, Fallout Shelter is a tabletop RPG.
It is not a tabletop RPG.
Can you play it on
Sims? It's like the Fallout version of The Sims, which is very simplified. It's a very simple game. Fun to play. And what I like about it is that it gets you hard about Fallout 4 without giving blue balls. I just really wanted to say that line. That's why I had that in there.
Okay. Have you played this game?
I will be later. I have not downloaded it yet, no.
The thing is saying that it's like The Sims isn't a bad analogy, but you are in control of way more characters than you would ever think about being in control of a Sim.
Yeah, that's a very simple analysis.
I think of it as like Tiny Tower on steroids. This game is beautiful. It's got more going on and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is.
But at the end of the day, it's still Tiny Tower, and I don't like Tiny Tower.
No, that's unfortunate.
I don't. I really don't.
I really like the Fallout world, and I'm enjoying this game immensely.
Hmm.
You know how immense? This immense.
This immense?
Mm-hmm. This immense.
Patrick Demence.
Zing! And I think that's all the time we have, Zach.
You think this one's getting long in the tooth?
A little bit long in those teeth.
Okay.
But before we go, remember you can catch the War Pod each and every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, and Beyond Pod for Android. Follow us on Twitter at Warlocks Brew. If you would prefer a little visual stimuli, check out Warlocks on YouTube. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, go over to patreon.com/warpod and drop us a couple of bucks so you can have access to exclusive content and support what we do. We love you very much and we wish that we could stay, but I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody!
Goodbye, everybody!
Bye.